since probably 2020, we've had quite a few technologies that have been introduced to really focus on whether it's feed sanitation or whether it's feed mitigation or doing something there as a protectant in the feed. And so we focused really on the viral or the bacterial challenges that might have the ability to survive on feed materials. And so we focused on that. But I would say that feed biosecurity doesn't just encompass a feed additive or something you're putting in there from sanitation. Feed biosecurity goes back to making sure that the trucks that are delivering the feed, what was hauled on it before they hauled that feed, or the clean outs and receiving at the feed mill, receiving ingredients that come in. So feed biosecurity is really a large topic when you start to drill down.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai. AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Mycotoxins were found in over 90% of feed sampled in 2025. Don't let mycotoxins impact your pig's health and performance. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/fumzyme. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Swine It Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Kellner, and today I'm joined by Dr. Stacy Crowder, Director of Additive Cells and Technical Innovation for Fortiva. How are you doing today, Stacy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
It was a fun morning and excited to talk to you here today. So, Stacy, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes, so I'm Dr. Stacy Crowder. As Trey said, I am leading the sales side of the Fortiva Additives. And Fortiva Additives is the additive group within the Land O'Lakes Animal Nutrition Team.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Stacy. All right, so let's just start off big picture. Today, we're going to talk about feed biosecurity. So give us just an overview of what feed biosecurity entails and why is it such a critical factor in swine production today?
Yes, that's a great question. So feed biosecurity, I'll start at the beginning. For me, I like to think of it with producers is overall biosecurity for their entire operation. And when we think about over the years in swine production, we've had really detailed protocols for people movement, animal movement, and equipment movement in and off of a farm. But the area that I think that is expanding within the industry probably over the last 4 to 5 years has been focused on this feed biosecurity and what can we do. I would say in my 20 years in the industry, we haven't talked about that. Feed was just always, you know, it came on and off the farm and we didn't necessarily think about it as a biosecurity risk. And I would say that since the PEDV outbreaks in 2013, 2014, it really made us in the nutrition space as a nutritionist to really think differently about the feed and about the feed ingredients. And that when you think about the ways in which pathogens might enter onto an operation, it was always kind of left off the table. And I do believe as an industry, we're getting smarter and we're collaborating a lot more from a nutritionist, or a veterinarian, or a health services team within, and the producer all sitting at the table together and really understanding what is the risk that feed may play and how do we address it? How do we make sure that we're closing that gap in the total biosecurity program? So I back up a little bit there to talk about where it kind of came from. And I would say that since probably 2020, we've had quite a few technologies that have been introduced to really focus on whether it's feed sanitation or whether it's feed mitigation or doing something there as a protectant in the feed. And so we focused really on the viral or the bacterial challenges that might have the ability to survive on feed materials. And so we focused on that. But I would say that feed biosecurity doesn't just encompass a feed additive or something you're putting in there from sanitation. feed biosecurity goes back to making sure that the trucks that are delivering the feed, what was hauled on it before they hauled that feed, or the clean outs and receiving at the feed mill, receiving ingredients that come in. So feed biosecurity is really a large topic when you start to drill down.
Fortiva is moving beyond feed additives to create foundational ingredients that work with your pig's physiology to support resilience and health. With proven technologies like Ambateen, Flow Matrix, and Endura, Fortiva helps you address the toughest challenges in swine production, from gut health to growth performance. Together, we can make animals more resilient in the face of future challenges. Learn how at FortivaImpact.com.
Yeah, thanks for that great overview. So let's drill down into your answer just a little bit. So let's just start with just risks. Like, how can feed, quote unquote, be contaminated or have a biosecurity issue, right? What are some risks associated? As you said, you know, you got to start with the mill, the truck, the ingredients that are brought in, all those things, right? So from your perspective, what are the risks?
Yeah. So the risks when you're thinking about the feed that's being delivered or coming onto your farm, it could be a lot of different things. I would say that any talk I've ever given at a conference, and I was like, this is kind of Stacey Crowder's answer, is I think that the majority of the time when we're looking, we do a really good job as a feed industry, as a swine industry, focused on making sure that our feed is clean and that we've done everything we can do. But we do know that there are potential points to where I would say feed could come into contact with a pathogen, whether that is in the delivery truck, if you're hauling something from before. In the swine and poultry industry that I spend the majority of my time on, there's some bacterial challenges that we know can have the ability to survive on feed. So in a poultry industry, we focus a lot on salmonella and salmonella protection and the use of to making sure that we're delivering the feed is showing up salmonella free, right? And not that every load of feed is going to be contaminated. I do want our listeners to understand that I don't think this is, you know, Chicken Little, sky is falling, that we need to focus on that every time. But I do think sharpening the pencil and understanding the risk that it poses. So if you think that 80 to 85% of the time, you're really doing a great job and there's not, but what about that, you know, 10 to 15% that we don't know? Or sourcing of ingredients. I know that after the PEDV break, we kind of really looked at, okay, how could a disease be moved? That disease seemed to just move so rapidly across that's where the first conversations about feed came in. But like I said, as a 20-year nutritionist in the industry working with producers, I do think the risk for total feed bringing it is somewhat probably not as high. But when you think about even at a mycotoxin level, you know, there's a chance that a small eraser amount of a product or a mold or something that's in there, and if it is introduced, it does have the ability to grow on it. So viruses like PEDV, PERS, we've seen lots of studies that have been published looking at the ability of those viruses to survive on feed. And then if it does survive on feed, what is that risk of transmission? And we have shown that, you know, in the model of the virus surviving on the feed and then being fed to the pig, that it can transmit that way. We don't typically think of PERS as that, you know, that transmission through feed. It's more of an aerosol transmission, but it does have the ability to live on feed. And so if you're in pig dense country and your feed trucks are traveling around, or if your feed bin, you know, when you're after a viral break, you get a viral plume of the virus in the air around that facility. And so how long can it live on the feed? How long can your feed equipment carry that? And so I do think it's an area risk. I can't put a number to it, Trey, to say that I think that, well, the risk is minimal, but I wouldn't say that. And so even if the risk there, or we don't think that we're in the high risk area, I would say, you know, parts of the United States where it's not pig dense and you don't have a lot of disease outbreaks, like a PERS break or those types of things, you do see some benefits when you start addressing just maintaining that low level and maintaining a better balance there of gut health when these products are in there.
Yeah, thanks, Stacey. So next question would be, so we kind of talked about risks. You did a great job of, you know, answering, hey, what are the potential impacts, right? Hey, a big feed mill might be delivering 90 to 100 loads of feed. Clearly, we don't break 90 to 100 times a day, right? But it only takes one instance. And those one instances, whether it's a viral or bacterial issue, can have pretty big consequences. So when it comes to the pig owner and the pig producer, what are some considerations that they should think about if they want to, quote unquote, improve their feed biosecurity portfolio and practices?
Yeah, I would say that it has to start with what's their primary goal? So when I work with producers, you know, what is your target? Are you a swine producer that is in the state of Iowa? And so you're really starting to think about this in, well, I would say PRRS used to have a classical time frame, right? August, you start thinking about those cold months are coming. I need to have something or to protect, you know, PRRS hasn't read the book over the last few years and seems to spike its head here, you know, in warm months. But I would say start with the producer and focus on what the ultimate goal that they're wanting to accomplish. Is it, you know, summer E. coli issues? Is it winter and viral issues and looking for some added protection? Because I would say that these are not all one size fits all. It's not a, and it's not a magic bullet, right? It's not that silver bullet that you put this in. Because a feed biosecurity tool, regardless of that, is just maintaining better protocols of receiving ingredients and feed in there and tracking, you know, truck cleanouts and looking for when you're cleaning or hauling pigs out of the barn, right? Making sure that you're not spreading disease that way. But it could also be looking at an additive or looking at that. So I think that there's multiple things that a producer has to put on the table. And it's ultimately going to come down to, here's where I believe my biggest risk is. Is it seasonal? Is it a particular ingredient? Maybe I've sourced all of my grains local. And I know right after the PEDV breaks, we had a lot of conversations about where vitamins come from. So do I feel that that's my risk? And so I'm treating my VTM to make sure that when that comes in, if I am using material coming from outside the United States in an area that does have those diseases, that I know I'm protected, or at least I feel like I'm doing everything I possibly can for my operation. But I think that it comes down to that, the purpose that the producer's looking for, like what's their goal. And then when we look at the economic impact, like I said, they're not one size fits all. They're also not a one-to-one on price. And so understanding those different types of technologies from a sanitation to a more mitigation type of a thing, those are different too, right? And so as you start to evaluate the products or the tools in this space, are you targeting strictly just a feed? You just want to make sure that the feed materials are protected. Do you want to look at something that maybe has a response beyond the feeder? So we all like to, we all don't like to necessarily just spend money for insurance purposes to say, well, if my risk is low and it doesn't, that's that one time catastrophic, you know, production and growth and pounds of pork out the door.
Yeah, awesome. So your team at Fortiva and yourself have been working in this area for a while now, and you do have some products. Would you mind just sharing an overview of what you have to offer to kind of answer the question that we had previously?
Yes. So the technology that the Fortiva team uses and that we've been focused on over the last few years is really medium chain fatty acid technology. It is for that beyond the feeder application. We want to make sure that we're protecting and that it has a quick mode of action in the feed, but also then has some benefits to the animals, whether that's in just overall health and performance and maintenance there, or keeping animals on track. And so there's a few products in our category there, but mainly the technology or the base technology focuses on medium chain fatty acids. And our number one product is probably our Vita-C Feedlock product that is a medium chain technology. Like I said, it was developed focused on envelope viruses that the mode of action there and understanding how a medium chain works is that because of its size and structure, and when I say medium chain, you know, kind of bookend at C6 to C12 and everything in between there, I'm not talking about a longer chain or a shorter chain. When you hear a Fortiva, you see the name Fortiva and you hear medium chains, kind of think that bookend. That size and structure is important. In what we've been looking at is because of that specific way those interact in the feed material, but then also in the animal, is they can approach, penetrate, and destabilize either the bacterial membrane or that viral envelope. And if we can break that apart, an envelope virus, the genetic material, it's not like our cells, right? It is protected inside there. It's exposed. So if a envelope virus is opening up and it's not inside the cell that it's going to replicate in, that is how you can mitigate, or that's how you can reduce some infectivity of that virus and really address it there. So we wanted to focus on, you know, the amount needed to have that immediate response in the feed, but then also give us, that's why I'm saying you really work with your producer. Is it a feed application you're looking for with a little bit of animal benefit? Are you really then want to, maybe you want to just target on an animal's response and you get a little bit of feed biosecurity? So there's products that fit in our category with, for whichever way the producer would like to look at that.
Yeah. Thanks, Stacey. Appreciate that. So I'm going to ask you to look in your crystal ball a little bit, right? Where do you think maybe over the next 5 to 10 years feed biosecurity goes? A, in terms of risk, right? Whether reduction or new introduction, right? We often talk about foreign animal diseases and, hey, what might be next? You know, PRRS not reading the playbook, et cetera. And or in terms of, you know, technologies that, you know, might be on the forefront within this area that producers might be have the ability to put in their toolbox here in, you know, 2030, 2035. Won't hold you to this, right? But what do you think? Where do you think we're going?
Yeah, I will be honest with you. I wish I had that crystal ball. Sure. But as most of us that are listening to this probably do wish we had a crystal ball to tell us where we're going. I would say from what I see, and I'm kind of in a unique seat in the additive space, seeing some new technologies coming through innovation, but also seeing how our producers are utilizing those. I would say probably we're going to get in the next probably 5 to 10 years really more granular on the risk that feed does play. You know, I can't give you the number. We talked about that earlier. I do think we're going to focus in a lot of this nutritional immunology space of getting, you know, if in the feed to give you a benefit to offer some protection or some defense. But then we're really targeting a metabolic function in the animal, right? And so how that looks. And I think doing it with products and technologies that are not considered a drug. Right. So we're not looking at a pharmaceutical type. Now, if that happens, great. We would all welcome that. Some new developments on that side as well. But I think from the nutritional or feed additive side, you're going to see some of those technologies. And when it comes to a producer in evaluating their risk, I think we're going to see a lot of AI modeling coming in. I think we're going to, our group is, I would say our group as nutrition and swine production is going to start using AI in ways that I didn't think of. And probably my 14 and 17 year old son will be more geared towards understanding the AI a little better than I do. But I do think that in the next 5 to 10 years, I've seen it just in the last 3 to 5 years of going from using it to help us, you know, write better emails to now it's being more predictive. And can we evaluate based on our historical production in this farm and based on modeling out or predicting that break or the risks that you may have in different times of the year? And so I do think we're going to get smarter on that front. So that's kind of what I see.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I appreciate that. Anything else in terms of feed biosecurity you'd like to share with us before we have a few fun final questions?
I don't know that there's any more. I just want to reiterate that it has to start with sharpening the pencil on all avenues. And I do want to remind everybody that even we can be 100% right on feed biosecurity. But if we don't have all the other pieces of our biosecurity protocols, you know, battened down, then it's not a silver bullet. So I do think feed biosecurity fits into an overall biosecurity plan for all of the producers. And so making sure we're looking at it holistically is probably my challenge to everybody is let's make sure we're looking at every area and making sure every area is battened down and we have the right protocols and we're following it, because I think that's what will make the biggest impact.
Oh yeah, no, great, great closing note there. I've always viewed, you know, biosecurity as a dam, right? Or a shield. You can view it that way. And hey, if there's one hole there, the water will find a way to leak through, right? So yeah, you can invest in one particular area, but the water's just going to continue to go around, you know, unless you're solid on all fronts. So great, great closing message and a great reminder to all of us.
It's time for our famous three.
AB Vista, an innovative animal nutrition company offering intelligent solutions for the swine industry. The combination of innovative products, technical expertise, and cutting-edge services provide the ideal tools to drive pig production. To learn more about AB Vista tools, check abvista.com.
So, Stacy, a couple final questions here before we let you off the hook here. First is, you know, do you have a good like resource material or a favorite book you like to go to that you'd like to share to our listeners here to maybe check out here during the holiday season?
Probably not necessarily one that is like going to be on a bestseller, but based on what my role is in the medium chain fatty acid, I talked about immune modulation, and I feel like as a nutritionist, we learn enough about how the nutrition and interaction with immunology. So my immunology book does not get too far away from my desk. And then the feed additive information. So whether it's Feed Additive Magazine or the websites where the new and cutting edge technologies, just keeping track of, you know, what's out there. And that's probably the number one resources I go to for production or nutrition resources.
Second question is, if you were to run into like a graduate student that's getting ready to defend their PhD, and they would say, hey, Stacy, what is one piece of advice that you can give me? Putting you on the spot here, but what would you say? What's the number one piece of advice that you would give off the top of your head to that young professional that's about to begin their career?
Yeah, that's great. I do work with some of those students. And so my kind of really is... be a continual learner. I will say that you are the smartest. This is my committee when I was doing my PhD. You are the absolute smartest the minute you put the pencil down or the conversation is done on your prelims, because you have the most breadth of knowledge that you've researched in order to basically fulfill those requirements. And every day after that is learning how to apply that or learning how to. So my motto, and everybody that I've worked with will say this, is I reserve the right to be smarter tomorrow than I am today. So I feel like if you can learn something every day, whether like I mentioned AI earlier, right? That wasn't something that was taught when I was there. When I came back to get my PhD after being in the industry, I had to relearn PCR and how that worked. So learning something every day, even if it's small, it's going to have exponential impacts. And so making sure that we don't walk in the room and assume that I already have all the answers. No, I believe that PhD degree teaches us to understand what we don't know, probably more than what we do, and where to go find it. And I think that just tap into that and they'll have great success if they continue that.
Yeah, that's awesome, Stacy. All right, last question. We're starting the holiday season. Do you have a favorite holiday tradition that you look forward to every year?
Yes, it's cookie decorating. So, in my family, my grandmother did this. We didn't do it as much because we didn't live as close to them. But my kids, when I started out and they were old enough, they loved to bake. We did the elf on a shelf and I put aprons in the tree. The elf delivered aprons with Santa's favorite cookie recipe. So we make sugar cookies and we decorate it. And the house is a mess. The kitchen looks like a disaster when we're done. But it is something that we look forward to. And then we deliver those cookies to our neighbors. And so I would say That's probably our tradition that we do, is we like to share our passion of baking sweet treats.
It's one of my favorites as well. Sugar, especially Christmas sugar cookies, are my absolute kryptonite. So yes, yeah, great answer. Well, Stacy, thank you so much for your time and your expertise and sharing a little bit about yourself as well. This concludes this episode of the Swinet Podcast. Hope you check out our podcast every Tuesday on where you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thanks, and hope you have a great rest of your day.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.